Who are the two witnesses?
Well, nobody really knows. You know, nobody really knows.
I've always heard Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, everybody's pretty sure Elijah's one of them.
Said Enoch.
The problem with Moses, Elijah didn't die. There was two guys that we know of in the Bible that did not die. Enoch and Elijah. It's appointed unto man wants to die. The problem with Moses, of course, Moses is dead. Moses died, and they buried, and God buried him in the fields of Moab. No man knows where.
Where they get that is Mount Transfiguration.
Yeah, I know. I know that's where that comes from. God would have had to have raised Moses up from the dead after he buried him. He'd have to raise Moses up from the dead in a mortal body now, because he's going to have the two raptured witnesses are going to have to be killed. They're going to die. So that's why, of course, people have said, well, it should be Enoch and Elijah, because as far as we can tell, neither one of them ever died. But you know, I mean, it could be other people that we don't know about. I don't know.
Revelator and Revelator, because they both said, here's a book you've got.
That is a possibility. That is a possibility. You know, it could be John and Daniel. It could be John and Daniel. I mean, there's, you know, God, look, God can do whatever, you know, God can do anything. And so I don't really care who they are, but I know that, you know, you're not going to miss them. You guys are—you're not going to miss these guys. You're gonna know these guys.
It's kind of like the guys in Revelation. I mean, he's telling John all these things. They were prophets of the Old Testament, more like.
Here's what one problem I have with it being John. John saw these guys, and he apparently didn't recognize himself. He didn't say, "Hey, there I am. That's me." He didn't say that.
God
hears
that.
Yeah, but that is a, you know, that's, yeah. But anyhow, okay, so are we clear? See, here's the important thing to remember is, now when people come at you telling you, you know, that all this has great prophetic, I've got a problem with people saying, you know, let's talk about prophecy in the news. No. There's no prophecy in the news. No.
Maybe signs of the time.
No, there's no prophecy in the news. The newspaper, you can read the newspaper. There's things going on in the Holy Land. It's all good, and some of it ain't so good. But it's not prophecy. It's not fulfilling prophecy. Why? Because 7 years is all you got. We'd be out of here anyhow.
The clock hasn't started.
We're off the clock. The pause button is still punched. And when the pause button is punched, nothing going on. All we've got to do is preach the gospel and get folks saved. That is our only business. Salvation. That is our business. It is our only business.
That's right.
Salvation.
Israel is Jehovah's bride.
Yes.
Jehovah will take care of his own bride.
Yes,
of his own wife.
Right.
Jehovah will take care of his backsliding wife. We are not. We don't need to be concerned about her.
We are Jesus' bride.
We are. We're the Lamb's bride. We're the Lamb's bride. The church is the Lamb's bride. Glory to God.
We're the Lamb's bride.
We're Christ.
All right. So here, this is the beautiful part of this. If you understand that there's only 7 years left, and that the clock has to start. Now we'll talk about what starts the clock. Not tonight, but we will talk about what starts the clock. Y'all couldn't stand that tonight.
What chapter in Matthew 23 and what did you use, Father Bro?
I used Matthew 23 verses 32 through 36.
22 verses 32 through 36.
Matthew 23:32-36.
You said Mark, but you didn't finish Mark.
Mark 8.
Mark chapter 8. I didn't give you a verse.
It's in Mark 8, 10 to 13.
Yeah, there you go.
And then it was Luke 11:49-51.
Yeah.
What about the people that don't believe in the rapture? Like my sister, she says, that's not.
I can do it this lesson.
That's not gonna happen. So I don't talk religion with her, because she knows more about it than I do.
Sister, that's a serious, that's very serious. Now, you know, this is a, I've said this before that in all of this end time teaching we're doing, and these 10 pillars that I've set out here, there is a heaven or hell issue in this. And that is the rapture. You must believe in the rapture to be saved.
Amen.
You must. Now, you must believe in the rapture to be saved. Now, I, it's possible that she doesn't understand exactly what she's talking about, because when people say the rapture, a lot of times they're talking about the timing of the living going up, you know, and so on. And it's not a matter of time.
Going to go through the ceilings. And
well, if she, here's the problem. If she doesn't believe in that, she also doesn't believe in the resurrection. Because the rapture and the resurrection are the same event. There will be no resurrection without the rapture. You see, I got news. Without the rapture, there will be no resurrection. There will be no resurrection from the dead. And Jesus and Paul said, if Jesus be not raised, our preaching is vain, and you are still in your sins. We are preaching a lie, because we have preached that Jesus raised from the dead, which he didn't do, if there be no resurrection. That's the problem. And when Paul said you must believe that Jesus, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that God has raised him from the dead to be saved. That is correct. You must believe in the resurrection to be saved. You simply must.
He was the first fruit of the resurrection.
He was the first fruit of the resurrection. That's the problem. If people really don't understand what we're talking about, when we're talking, and I'm going to talk about, you know, when we talk about the rapture, this is a beautiful, it's a beautiful subject. But the resurrection and the rapture do not, you know, they're not separated. They're absolutely a simultaneous event.
Amen.
We go at the same time. We're both, the rapture just means to be taken by force.
Yes.
It means snatched. It's the same word. It's the Latin word rapiamur.
Right.
And it's the same word that rape is comes from. It means to be taken by force.
Yep.
Snatched up.
Yep. I go well.
We're going up. Yeah, we will. But the dead folks, you know, those dead in the ground, they're going to be jerked out of there, man, in the twinkling of an eye. Those dead bones are going to be jerked out of the grave so fast. Before anybody knows what happened, we're going to be gone. We'll be out of here. We'll be in heaven before we know anything. We won't even know what hit us, and we'll be in the glory world. That's the thing about that's if they really don't believe in the rapture, if they know what they're saying, they really don't believe in the resurrection either, because it's the same thing. And you cannot be saved without believing in the resurrection. You must believe in the resurrection. You must. You see, that's our hope. It's our blessed hope. We must believe in the resurrection. That's what we're saved for, you know. And the redemption of the body.
Yes.
Glory to God. But we'll go into that in great detail, you know, at another time. We'll take a whole lesson on that. But it's a beautiful concept. But it's a serious business. It's a serious. I know. I've heard a lot of people, you know, trying to yeah, the rapture, and say, you know, it ain't in the Bible and all this bunch of nonsense. All I got to say, folks, do you folks ever read your Bible? What in the world do you think the resurrection is? What is the resurrection if it ain't a rapture? Of course it is. It's just dead folks versus live folks.
Yes.
But it's the same operation on both people, living and dead. Do what?
They're not allowing the Holy Ghost to show them too much.
No, that, you know, sometimes that's true, and but you know, it's you know, it's really a dangerous thing to be critical about things like that. That, you know, doctrines that are so fundamental to Christianity. I mean, the Trinity, for example. I mean,
she doesn't believe in that
either.
It's in the first three verses of the Bible. First three verses.
Well, there are some things that are just so central and fundamental to Christianity that you just can't be Christian if you don't believe in it.
Yes, sir.
There are some things you just can't be Christian if you don't believe in. And the resurrection and the rapture is one of them. You've got to believe that we're going out of here. We're out of here. Glory to God. All right. Now, I didn't get back into that again. We're going to go back into that, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do is that we're going to go into every one of these segments. I keep tripping over this right here. I'll fall one of these days.
You keep me from falling.
That's right.
In every
one of these segments, we're going to show exactly in the Bible where it started, the date that it started, and the date that it ended. Every single one. This one, and this one. Right to the very day. It's all in the Bible. We're not guessing at it. It's all in the Bible. To the very day when these things happen. So every one of them is good, clear, cut and dried. It's all there for everybody to see. And we'll go there. As I told you before, this guy, this was the guy back in the 1800s, Sir Robert Anderson, was the guy that really sniffed out the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And he was the guy that sniffed this out right here. All this business about the time when, during the judges, the children of Israel were sold into bondage to other countries. And while they were in bondage, the clock wasn't running. That's what this is all about. For 8 years, they were in bondage to this one people. This one for 18 years, this one for 20 years, this one for 7 years, and this one, the Philistines, for 40 years. 93 years that they were in bondage, that the book of 1 Kings just ignored altogether, as if it never happened.
That just shows you that the Lord, how time was kept.
It shows, yeah.
Not anything to do with the weeks.
That's right. This didn't have anything to do with the weeks. It is, though, it shows you how there are times when God doesn't count time. There are times when the sacred calendar just isn't running.
Not prophecy, that's just the calendar.
That's right. That's just the way God is keeping time. And they knew this. They knew this. See? They're without excuse. They knew this. Brother Anderson, he's a giant. I've said that before, but he's a giant. I'll say one thing though. He did not sniff out when this segment ended. He never figured that out. We're gonna see it. We're going to see it. Show it to you.
Amen.
We know how it did. Right to the very day. See, what's happening? We're getting revelation as the time approaches.
Right.
We're getting more revelation.
Right.
The path of the justice is a shining light which shineth more and more unto that perfect day. The closer we get to the time, the more God will reveal to us these things, and it'll become clearer and clearer and clearer.
Amen.
It will absolutely, see, you know, Paul said, I will doubtless come to visions and revelation. Well, we will too, praise the Lord.
Right.
We're going to come to visions and revelations about these things. All kinds of things as the end times approaches. But surely the end times, yes, Sister Mary.
You know, he told Daniel to seal it up because it's not for your generation.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That is
it.
That's right. That's right.
He knew what would be going on.
That is true.
But he said, seal it up.
That's right.
And that's the reason I think people have a problem with it, because it was a little seal-like. You have to go before the Lord to really get it.
But Daniel lived a long time ago. And a lot of things have happened since then. Jesus come on the scene. We understand now things that Daniel couldn't possibly understand.
Right.
We experienced God in a way that Daniel could never possibly experience God.
Exactly.
And God can reveal things to us that he couldn't even reveal to Daniel.
It said they just embraced.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
But we actually, that's the reason Paul told us, we can run now.
That's right, absolutely right. That's right. Absolutely right.
The more sure we're in Revelation.
Absolutely. Anybody have any questions about what we talked about tonight, about the, what Jesus meant by this generation? Yes, sir.
I understand that now, the 31 and 7.
Yeah.
We're going back to like Acts 48, Israel and all, but do you not think that pretty significant, even though it may not have a, you know, the miracles involved, like the 67 war and the Six-Day War and all, but don't you see God working in those things too?
I think it's God showing his love to his people.
I'll tell you, here's the problem, you know. This may happen several more times before it actually means something. Now here's what we did say this a little bit ago, that we know that even though it's not prophesied that Israel, that God would bring Israel back in unbelief, which is what you're saying, that he would have to be doing that with them in unbelief, and there's not one promise in the book that he would ever gather Israel in unbelief. That he would begin to show mercy on Israel in unbelief. Right now, they are under the curse, which is not my people.
That's true.
No mercy.
That's true.
They're under the curse, and they will be until they recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. Only then will God begin to deal with them in miraculous ways. Now, I understand.
Like us, when we're sinners, we still get some of the blessings of God. Just he lets it rain on the just and the unjust.
That's true.
But we want to have the child.
This is true, brother.
We've got to become a child.
Get in the house.
We've got to be.
This is true.
We've got to come.
This is true. This is absolutely true.
They're getting.
Yes, brother.
This is just the way I see it. Is right now in Israel, they're just like they were 40 years in the desert. When they're doing real well, they didn't need God. And Israel's been doing pretty well. I mean, they have battles, people fighting, they do well over there. And until they're actually uncomfortable and hurt, and they really need God,